You're listening to audio from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more information about Pleasant Valley, visit our website at pleasantvalley.cc.
A couple of quick announcements. One, next Sunday is one of the most important Sundays in the life of our church calendar every year. It's Orphan Sunday, where 100% of everything you're going to give in those very baskets next Sunday goes to our Titus Fund, which is our church adoption fund, where we help families at Pleasant Valley overcome some of the financial obstacles in adoption. But also, a portion of everything you give next week goes to Lifesong Haiti and helping relieve the suffering of little boys and girls that are fatherless all over the world and not just right here in our area. So come prepared next Sunday to give very generously on Orphan Sunday and know that you are playing a role in serving the widow and the orphan all around the world, all right? I also want to say just thank you to those of you that came and volunteered last night at our fall festival, or even if you just came, thank you for being here. We had about 3,000 people, give or take a couple hundred from the community here, about probably 80% of which don't go to church here, which is what we wanted. We wanted to reach our community and neighbors with just a chance to love on them. And so thank you for being here. Special thanks to Ellis and Robin, who grilled 4,000 hot dogs. That is a lot of hot dogs. And we gave away every one of them. And you know what? God moves in mysterious ways. We even gave away some kitty cats last night, like only at Pleasant Valley. We're the only fall festival this side of the picket wire where you can leave with a hot dog in one hand and a cat in the other hand. But that's what you get here, and that's what makes this church so special. And aren't you glad you give towards that end? We didn't buy those cats, by the way. Somebody randomly dropped them off in somebody's truck, and we just felt like we had to, like, do something with them. So we gave them to a couple of families. But, all right, I better get back on track here. Thank you for being here last night. Speaking of that, all those families that came last night, many of them are going to come back this Wednesday night for Trunk or Treat, where we're giving away 2,000 pounds of candy. And so come serve this Wednesday night. Meet some new families in the area and love on them. Hopefully look for chances to share the gospel with them. That's the goal of giving out candy, right? Not just to give cavities, but to have a chance to build relationships where we can share Jesus with people. But we still need more help. We need 17 more trunks. So if you have a car with a trunk or a truck with a bed in it, we'll take that too. Or if you got a dune buggy, whatever you got, we need you here Wednesday night. You can text the word trunk. That's not up there, but just text the word trunk to 69922 or go sign up in the front or back, and you can participate this Wednesday night in just loving on families in the community, okay? Well, as we transition, there are a few people that have had a more significant impact on my life and this church as a whole than Pastor Brad Rhodes. He and Marilyn's heart and passion for marriage and the way marriage reflects the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have been one of the choicest gifts God has given to this church over the past 12 years. I speak with a lot of churches and a lot of pastors all over the country on a regular basis. And I don't know that anyone, any church, there's much larger churches than ours, but I don't know of any church that has a more holistic approach to marriage ministry than what we have right here at Pleasant Valley Community Church. There are premarital classes for 13 weeks that we prepare you for before you say I do. There are marriage groups for those that have been married 1 to 5 years. There's obviously, marriage crisis counseling available if you fall into a crisis. And then we have quarterly Grace Marriage coaching groups that many of you participate in. Myself and the pastoral team have asked Pastor Brad not only to come and preach the Word of God to us this morning, but we've asked him to use Grace Marriage as he oversees our marriage ministry as a strategic model here for equipping marriages and helping strengthen marriages in a proactive way, not a reactive way. Annie and I have been a part of one of these coaching groups since 2012, and it's been the single most fruitful thing we've done in our marriage. So as a pastor, I want all of you that are married to be a part of that if God would lead you. It's not a decision that you would regret. So it's the joy, again, of myself and the pastoral team. Brother, would you come on up to give Pastor Brad and Grace Marriage our full support and blessing, not only as a means to strengthen the marriage in this church and families here, but we want to stand alongside them and pray for them and send them and bless them as they are going to reach churches all over the country. Eventually, hundreds and thousands of marriages are going to be reached because of God's influence in their life, and we have the joy of blessing them and praying for them. So let me pray for you, brother, as you prepare to preach the word to us this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that when we open up your scriptures, there is power there, and it is life-giving there. So, Lord, bless Brad now as he opens up the word of God, and speak through him and fill him with your spirit. And, Father, I pray that as a result of this word today, that our lives would be changed, that the gospel would take deep root in our hearts. Lord, that for those that are married, our marriages would be strengthened and revitalized, and we would find more joy in them, so that we could better reflect the gospel and give more glory to God. Father, may your will be done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. Good morning. Good morning. Well, I'm Brad Rose, pastor of marriage here, and we long for all you to have that are married, to have life-giving marriages that bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reminded yesterday, I was visiting a dear friend of ours at a funeral home. And our first friend in Owensboro, and she's literally dying. Marilyn may leave in the middle of the service because she may die within the hour. But as we were looking over her, I think how we get caught up in the world. You know, let my marriage make me happier. Let me, my finances, my retirement. And we forget what matters is bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are a mist that's here in God. In the experiencing God study, we want life in your relationship with Jesus. James wants life in our worship, and I want life in our marriages. Because right now our perspective is off as a church, generally. Now I'm speaking of each of you, but generally. I had a guy, he's a friend of mine in ministry from out of town. It's none of you, and you don't know him, so don't start trying to figure out, is he talking about me? And don't call me afterwards, I'm not talking about you. But he called me and said, Brad, we don't ever have sex. She doesn't even like me. My house is cold. She doesn't respect me at all. My marriage is boring. I just don't think I can do this anymore, and he's in ministry. Not long thereafter, I got a call from a lady. I didn't even know her. Again, you're not in here, don't call me. Sobbing, sobbing. What's wrong? He doesn't pay me attention. He doesn't love me. I feel ugly. I feel like he didn't give me any attention. We never go on dates. I cry out for more attention, and I just feel like I'm on his nerves. I'm sad. I'm isolated, and I'm lonely. I can't do life like this anymore. I can't do it. And both of them had the perspective that virtually every couple that ends up in crisis marriage counseling have. Marriage is supposed to do something for me, make me feel respected, bring me physical pleasure, make me feel beautiful, make me feel loved. Marriage doesn't deliver that way. And God didn't make marriage for that. God is the lover that satisfies. And then your lover on earth is who you put Jesus Christ on display through. Because there's two perspectives in marriage. You have a consumer perspective, and you have a covenant perspective. A consumer perspective is, what can I get from it? You have these expectations. What can I get from my marriage? And then marriage doesn't deliver, and you're frustrated. Then a covenant perspective is, my marriage is about the glory of God. My marriage is about Jesus Christ. My marriage is about bringing him glory. My marriage is about making Marilyn's life better and giving a good life for my kids. And I'm going to pour into that for Marilyn's benefit, the kids' benefit, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that's a perspective, marriage works. Because those are the two perspectives. Good news, both those marriages I told you about shifted perspective, invested in their marriage, and are thriving today because of a change of perspective and the power of the Lord Jesus. One prominent author speaks of the consumer perspective, saying marriage is not two needy people, unsure of their own value and purpose, finding their significance and meaning in one another's arms. The reality is, marriage is a great gift to us. Marriage makes us holier, as Gary Thomas says, but marriage also gives us more joy and happiness in life, and I'm going to tell you how. First, I'm going to talk about how marriage makes us more holy and it grows our character. It exposes character flaws. It's encouraging. It increases responsibility. It helps complete our character. It teaches us to love someone totally different than us, helps us grow in love and humility and teach us to rely on God. I'm going to start with how God uses marriage to expose character flaws. Before I got married, I thought I was a pretty good guy. Before I got married, most everybody seemed to like me okay. Then I got married, and there was one grand exception, Marilyn. So I thought, my staff likes me, new clients are coming in, people seem to think I'm okay at church, and Marilyn doesn't like me, who's wrong? Must be her. No. Like somebody I know said, if the person that knows you the very best likes you the very least, you got a problem. Gary and Betsy Ricucci stated, one of the best wedding gifts God gave you was a full-length mirror called your spouse. Had there been a card attached, it would have said, here's to helping you discover what you are really like. When people come in to me in pastoral crisis counseling, Brad, she brings out the very worst in me. I wasn't like this before I met her. I'm like, yes, you were. She brings out what is in you. This is who you are. She has brought it out. She has exposed it for you so you can grow to be more like Jesus. Praise God. Use the opportunity. Don't complain and run. Because you really can't grow until you learn what's wrong with you. I didn't know how selfish I was. I didn't know how little control I had over my tongue. God probably saved me through sin being revealed through my own marriage. My sin became HD clear. I realized I needed a Savior. I turned to Jesus because God gave me Marilyn. So second, God uses marriage for encouragement and responsibility. If you go off track, it doesn't just affect you. When I was single, practicing law in Nashville, I'd eat out, golf, do whatever I wanted. Go to bed when I wanted, do whatever I wanted, have an extremely messy house, no order, and guess what? It was okay. Then I got married, and guess what? It wasn't okay. Brad. And I said, Marilyn, you knew I was like this. He says, yes, and I want you to quit being like this. I said, look, you're messy Marvin trying to play house. Leave me alone. Let's just do this together. But no, she stayed with me. Because Marilyn provided encouragement and accountability to help me grow in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I left the law practice to go into full-time marriage ministry, I learned it's a lot easier to get to the edge of the diving board than to jump off. I couldn't wait to serve Jesus in marriage full-time. I couldn't wait to do it. Then I got to the edge and I thought, wait a minute. I've got a pretty good gig. I've got 5 kids that have not started college. I know what this provides. I have no clue what this involves. So I went to Marilyn. I said, Marilyn, are you sure about this? She said, Brad, you know what the Lord's called both of us to. Would you quit looking back and wasting both of our energies? I would have not had the courage to do what I did if it wasn't for the encouragement of Marilyn Rhodes. I grow as a parent because she encourages me when I do well, and when I'm off, she affirms me but then helps me. I have accountability because of her. Scripture says, exhort one another daily lest you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Marilyn helps keep me soft. She's helped me grow in so many areas. I remember one time we were eating with a lot of people at a table, and I didn't realize it, but evidently I was being dominant and talking too much. So while I was talking, Marilyn reached under the table and grabbed my leg and squeezed it. The hashtag shut up. Hashtag I'm embarrassed. So me being a humble man, I moved my chair away from her so she could no longer reach my leg and kept talking. Now, Marilyn has grown in her approach, and I have grown in controlling my tongue. And we're both better people because of each other. So a lot of folks just wish that their spouse just leave them alone. I wish I could just be left to myself and do whatever I want and then be okay with it. No, that's not good for you. The accountability is a gift. One author notes, studies show that spouses hold one another to greater levels of personal responsibility and self-discipline than friends or other family members can. Nothing can mature character like marriage. You can complain your spouse won't just leave you alone, or you can be thankful and seek to grow in Jesus. So third, marriage helps you have a more complete character. It helps make you a more complete believer. Have you ever heard the term, my spouse completes me in the movies? They don't. You are complete because Jesus Christ is your Father. Because you've been adopted. That's why you're complete. But then God uses marriage to help complete your character. Because what's Paul say about marriage? In marriage, if you get married, you will have a wonderful life together and enjoy one another. No, it says you will have many troubles, is what Paul says. So people get married and they have many troubles and they're shocked and that we must be wrong. I married the wrong person. No, you married. And part of marriage is many troubles. But how does God use troubles? Look at the book of James. Take pure joy when you face trials or troubles of any kind. Why? God uses troubles and trials to grow your character and make you mature and complete. So your trials and troubles in marriage are actually a gift. Many of us, instead of growing new skills, we just want an easier marriage. I don't want trials. I don't want troubles. I want it easy. And that's normal. What do I want to do when I get home? I want to go in my bedroom, shut the door, everybody leave me alone, get something to drink I like, and watch the World Series. And when I hear everybody fighting in the other room, I want Marilyn to go upstairs and take care of it so I don't have to. I don't want a growing character. But God wants me to grow in character, and I'm happier when I do. Paul Washer says, God sovereignly ordained the weaknesses of your spouse for your sanctification. So if your spouse gets on your nerves and does things you don't like, praise God, it's good for you. Because you got to grow to love somebody you don't like. And if you can't love your own spouse who is seen, you can't love God who is unseen. And if you can't love your own spouse, how in the world can you love your enemies as God calls you to in Scripture? Yes, in a lot of ways, it was easier for me being single. We had a really rough year about 5 or 6 years ago, and I'll spare the details, but significant health problem with kids. We had one infant that wasn't sleeping. We gluten, dairy-free, a whole lot of things going on. So Marilyn went for a run, and Marilyn was really struggling. She went for a run and came home and said, Brad, I've decided I'm just going to leave and go to the lake for a month with the kids, and you can go see us, come see us on the weekends. I'm like, what kind of run did you have? I thought, well, you can't just take our kids and go to your parents' lake house. They're my kids too. But then I thought, well, Marilyn needs this. She went. I came home on Monday, and nobody was in the house. I went to Beef O'Brady's, and I got wings. I put on comfortable clothes. I sat on the couch by myself and watched the NBA and thought, wait a minute. This isn't that bad a deal. You know, and that it's true. That was easier. That doesn't grow me. That didn't use my life as a living sacrifice to benefit other people and bring glory to Jesus Christ. Yes, it's easier, but it's not about being easier. And now God's changed me for the better. That lady I was telling you about that's dying as we speak, when we first got to Owensboro, she told me, she's very blunt. She actually heard us preach, and I heard James preach, and I said, how was it? She goes, well, he's easy on the eyes. But when she got here, she told me, I like Marilyn a lot more than you. And probably 6 months ago, and she was still able to talk and stuff, I said, well, has anything changed? She goes, yep, it has. Marilyn has domesticated you. And it's true. I've developed new skills I would have never developed if God had not given me Marilyn. I got a long way to go. Like a friend of mine said, I'm not impressed where you are. I'm just impressed where you are compared to where you were. But simply stated, you're just forced to grow in areas you don't have strength. It makes you grow more skills. I mean, now I think like Marilyn thinks to some degree now. Marilyn is worried about hurting other people's feelings, and she's very thoughtful. That's never been my struggle. But now I'll start to say something. I think, wait a minute, they'll take it that way. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I've been trained. It's a good thing. So it's grown me. And next, marriage teaches you to love someone totally different than you. Have you ever wondered why God made men and women so different? Men have 16 times the testosterone on average. Women have 9 times the estrogen. You think that makes it more difficult to get along? Yes. Is it a good thing it's more difficult to get along? Yes. Because it teaches us to love. You know that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? I've not read it, so if you like read it, you hate it and think it's heresy, don't email me. But it sold 50 million copies. 50 million. The best-selling hardback nonfiction book ever. You think the writing about the differences resonated with people? Well, what marriage does, because you have to learn to love someone different than you. Because if we don't like somebody, do you call and say, well, who is it that I really don't like or enjoy? I'm going to call and invite them to lunch this week. And we'll hang out because I want to grow in Jesus. How many of y'all do that? None of you. I don't. But what happens when we start disliking each other in marriage? You come home and who's still there? The guy you don't like. When Marilyn, one time I got on her nerves so bad, she said, Brad, even the way you drink coffee gets on my nerves. We would go for a run together, and she would either be 100 yards ahead of me or behind me because she didn't want to be beside me. But guess what? She had to grow past it. Because she said, Brad, I love you till death do us part. She couldn't just say, okay, I don't like you anymore, so maybe we didn't love each other. Maybe it's not real. Maybe you're the wrong person. I'll just be done with you. No. She did the hard work of loving an unlikable guy. She focused what's on the positive. She fought for our marriage, and then she liked me again. So marriage forces us to do that. Now, I want to make it clear. This doesn't mean staying in abuse or infidelity. In that situation, prioritize safety and get help. But realize differences are great. Marilyn is a responsible parent. She's disciplined with food, disciplined with diet, disciplined with school. I'm more into the fun side of things. Marilyn once jokingly said, if something ever happens to me, Brad, please remarry quickly. She loves our children. But see, I bring something to our house that our house needs. Marilyn brings something to our house that our house needs. And we're so much better together than alone. Yes, do I sometimes get frustrated because she doesn't have my focus? Yes, does she sometimes get frustrated? Yes. But our kids and our life are better off for it. You might think, I wish my spouse thought more like me, had the skill sets I did, wanted to do life like I do. You don't. Because being forced to love somebody different and sinful is good for you. One country music singer sang a song. It's actually Marilyn's least favorite singer in the entire world. And she actually believes, it's hard to believe anybody likes John Anderson. But I do. But here's the lyrics of his song. She looks uptown, but she ain't really. She's into football, and she likes my chili. I found a girl, she's sweeter than honey. She pets my dog, and she likes my buddies. The kind of girl who ain't afraid of nothing. She's independent, she even does her own plumbing. She likes to fish, and she's got her own boat. Somebody slap me. It sounds good just to have somebody that wants to have people over and you want to have people over, wants to do things you want to do, wants to date when you want to date, wants to go the places you want to go, wants to go to the concerts you want to go to, wants to watch TV with you, wants to do those. But no, it's better for you that you're forced to love someone totally different than you because it forces you to lay down your life and grow to be more like Jesus. And happiness is found how? Being more like Jesus. So it forces us to grow in love and humility. A wife is called in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Husbands, lay your lives down for your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why is it hard for us to hear that? Why do preachers not like to preach on submission? Because the pride of the wife flares up. Because it's hard to submit to a flawed man. Husbands, lay your careers, your pleasures, even your very life and your time down for a wife that doesn't love you well, respect you well. Well, that doesn't seem fair. It makes us grow in humility and love. Because let me tell you, Jesus Christ did not look down upon us and say, wow, that's one impressive group of folks. Wow, I think I'm just going to go die for them. He looked down and he saw the very enemy of God in rebellion. He said, I love you, and I'm going to die for you. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he hung on a cross bearing all your junk so you could be free and thrive. He said, well, how am I supposed to love my wife? That way. That way. Why? Because it puts him on display and it is good for us. So we're called to love each other as Christ loved us. People say, what's the biggest cause of divorce? Selfishness. The more selfishness, the worse the marriage. The less selfishness, the better the marriage. The more selfishness, the less submission. The less selfishness, the more submission. The less selfishness, the more Christ is put on display. It's about laying down your life for another person because the perfect God laid down his life for you. And now when people come into marriage pastoral counseling with me in crisis, they come in and here's what they say. They say they look at the scriptures and their passages of the scriptures are up there. The men's role and the woman's role. Move to the next slide, please. So you have two columns. Scriptures written directly to the men. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Men, live with your wife in an understanding way. Men, don't be harsh with your wife. Women, submit to your husband. Win him over without words. Respect your husband. So what comes in? The men come in and say, Brad, she isn't submissive. She nags at me. She uses a ton of words, and she doesn't respect me. Wait. He doesn't love me. He's harsh with his words, and he doesn't understand me. Stay in your own lane. Grow in personal obedience to Christ. Because I find men that are focused on their wife submitting and respecting them are typically controlling and harsh and hard to be around. Women that are focused on being loved, being made to feel special, made to feel beautiful, they're typically needy, struggling, and they nag a lot. Stay in your own lane and grow close to Jesus through obedience to his word. And if you don't want to, that's what the Bible says. You won't want to. Galatians 5 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for they're opposed to one another. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. Why do we have a pretty good marriage? I do a lot of things I don't want to do. When was the last time I wanted to do dishes? When was the last time I wanted to do laundry? I don't want to share my heart, my day, and my emotions. It's not how I grew up. So if you don't want to have sex, you have sex. You don't want to do dishes, you do them. You don't want to share your heart, you share your heart. You don't want to go on a date, you go on a date. It's a Friday before marriage coaching and you're tired and you don't want to go to marriage coaching, go to marriage coaching. Because Philippians 2:3 says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Amen. So we grow in love in humility. Gary Thomas calls our marriage a spiritual gym where you get to work out. And somebody says, well, my spouse is really difficult. He says, well, good, you can get real strong. There's more weight on the bar. So, lastly, God uses marriage to trust God and grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can't do this alone. If you say, Brad, amen and amen, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do this. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to do it. You'll have a great marriage for about 2 weeks. Then you'll get tired and you'll get stressed and life will take over and you'll revert to your patterns. You have to experience God, grow close to God, seek from God to have provisions to love messed up people. You go to a perfect God to love imperfect people. If you just focus on loving your spouse, you can't do it. If you focus on receiving from Jesus and loving your spouse, you'll have plenty of provision. Because what's Tim Keller say? He says we must know where the fuel station is, and even more, that it exists. He's a well that never runs dry. He is the bread of life. He says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. When Marilyn gets frustrated and upset at me and comes to me, I rarely bring her peace. If Marilyn's frustrated with me and goes and communes with Jesus, worships Jesus, reads scripture, marinates on how much he loves her, he brings her peace. And then she can love a messed up guy like me. Plus, when you extend grace to one another and love each other despite their sin, you realize more and more that what you're doing is nothing compared to what you've given. We're so focused on what we're having to give, and we forget what we've been given. Somebody gives you $1 billion and says, now give away 100. That's the analogy. So we must focus on Jesus to do this. And you might be thinking, well, I'm single. I mean, can you grow as a single? Absolutely. But how do you grow as a single? Paul even says, in some ways, it's better being single. Paul says, now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. So Paul, single. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. So how do you grow as a single? Christian community. Missional communities, serving the poor, being a good friend. You grow by pouring yourself out and laying yourself down for others. So singleness is a good state. Marriage is a good state. Bring God glory in the state you are in. And if you're married, allow marriage and the difficulties to be used to grow you in Jesus. A friend of mine in college, my best friends, got out of college, got married. Like me, he was not the essence of responsibility. In fact, he actually had me beat in irresponsibility. So he gets married, and she wants change from him. He refuses. They end up divorced. I go to our reunion. 30 years later, he was a 48-year-old version of the 18-year-old I met. The only difference, he was a lot older. If he had stuck it in a marriage, let God use marriage, he could have grown, but he did not. So that's how marriage makes you holier. The big question is, how does it make me happier? Or how does marriage bring me joy? I mean, all this laying down your life stuff just sounds like it's all about others. It's not about me. So how does that make me happier? The reality is, you are happy only to the extent you make other people happy. You are joyful only to the extent you make other people more joyful. A friend of mine had a good marriage. His wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, double mastectomy, remission. It came back. Last 6 months of her life, he just had to take her to the bathroom, help her with everything, take care of her. He said, Brad, the last 6 months of our marriage was by far the best 6 months of our marriage. You got no clue how close I got to Jesus and her, just laying down my life from her. I never realized how much happiness comes from service and laying down your life for another. Best 6 months, 6 months in a hospital bed. Because like Tim Keller said, he learned that happiness is on the far side of holiness. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will gain eternal life. We're naturally going to seek joy and happiness from something. Career, financial security, marriage, feeling good about ourselves, whatever. Solomon tried them all in Ecclesiastes. He tried riches, he tried wisdom, he tried studies, he tried women, he tried everything. And he said it's all meaningless. And his conclusion was fear God and obey his commandments. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. I don't know if any of y'all remember Becky Ammons, who used to attend here. I was visiting my friend in the nursing home. I walked by, and I saw Becky Ammons on the door in the nursing home. I leaned in and said, Becky, I mean, she lit up. And I said, how are you doing? She was great. She said, well, the knee surgery didn't work, and I really can't walk. I'm in a nursing home. I'm doing fantastic, though. How are you doing? How are the kids? Show me pictures. Hey, somebody's coming in from Uganda, Brad. Could you help serve them? Can we pray for them right now? She was vibrant and full of life in a nursing home, unable to walk. Why? She knows that happiness comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Right now, the world preaches this garbage that unmitigated freedom will bring you happiness. Now they're even saying, you need to even be able to change your gender. You know, because you should not be restricted in any way. When the truth is, you find happiness through laying down your life. Look at the modern view of marriage in this short Seinfeld clip.
I mean, what are you thinking about, Jerry? Marriage? Family?
Well,
They're prisons. Man-made prisons. You're doing time. You get up in the morning, she's there. You go to sleep at night, she's there. It's like you gotta ask permission to use the bathroom.
Is it all right if I use the bathroom?
Really? Yeah, and you can forget about watching TV while you're eating.
I can?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Because it's dinner time. And you know what you do at dinner?
What?
You talk about your day. How was your day today? Did you have a good day today or a bad day today? Well, what kind of day was it?
Well, I don't know. How about you? How was your day?
Boy, it's sad, Jerry. It's a sad state of affairs.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Oh, you have no idea.
Isn't it interesting? The view is marriage restricts freedom. Man-made prison. You either find joy in laying your life down for somebody or in trying to get it from the world by doing whatever you want. And you find joy in serving Jesus. So second, it makes you happier. Marriage makes you happier because the more you love your spouse, the more you like your spouse because the emotion follows the action. Have you ever gotten frustrated with your spouse and withdrawn from your spouse or been nice to your spouse? Did that make you like them more or less? Less. There was a guy one time, it was a former client of mine. I really didn't like the person. And I read the scripture about loving your enemies, and I did to that person what the scripture said. And I don't know, if you ever had those people, when you see them, it hurts inside because you can just feel you're mad? Well, that was this guy. And I loved him, and I did some things for him. And I called him, and I sent him a note. And I saw him out one time. I shook his hand. I didn't feel a thing. God honors obedience to his word, and he helps you with more positive emotions. So if you want to like your spouse more, love your spouse more. If you want to spend time with your spouse, spend time with your spouse. How many of you have kids? It's a lot of us. How many of your kids are grateful on a consistent basis? How many of them affirm you and tell you what a great parent you are? And thank you for all you do for them all the time. And no, how many of you stop loving your kids because they're not loving me back? No, you love them and you die for them. And they hurt, you lay in bed and you can't sleep because your emotions are so strong because you love them so deeply. But why do you love them so deeply? Because you've kept loving them year after year after year after year. Do that with your spouse. And you'll have the same and a deeper depth of love than you even do with your own kids. So third, in a healthy marriage, you're more healthy, you live longer, and you're better off financially. Studies show it. You think finances are tight now? Try two sets of bills, child support, and the same income. Yes, for a lot of you, divorce seems like an attractive option. And for Eve, the fruit did as well. Satan will tempt you to step into a more difficult life than you're in now, trying to give you a promise that it will not keep. Lastly, marriage, when done correctly, is a great thing. I love being married to Marilyn. Song of Solomon said, "This is my lover, my friend." Marilyn's my lover. She's my friend. She's my best friend in the world. When I struggle, I come home and she's there. When I'm doing great, she's there. When we have a great week, we go on a date. We have a bad week, we go on a date. We enjoy one another. It's an oasis in this desert of life. So the question is, okay, if marriage can make me holier and happier, for some of you think, well, it's not. Well, why isn't it? Because you have to prioritize and invest in it. Unless you prioritize and invest, it will not do what God intends it to do. I mean, marriage, you think of priority. Marriage, the Bible starts with a wedding. It ends with a wedding. We're the bride of Christ. Marriage is analogized to the relationship of Christ and his church. The stability of a culture is dependent on the stability of marriage and the family. And then it's hard to talk people into investing in the marriage, and we wonder why society's falling apart. It's because we bought this lie that you love someone, you get married, and it's just going to be okay because love is so powerful. Love is powerful, but love is a choice, and it's a choice to invest. Because marriage is the most important horizontal relationship in your life. And if you put anything, youth sports, work, working out, anything, if you put anything ahead of your marriage other than Jesus Christ, your marriage will slowly die. If you don't give it its place, it will harm it. Hebrews 13:4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all. So we're called to invest. And God tells us how to invest. He teaches in His Word how to do it. I bought a mower. I have no electronic skills. So I looked at the manual. Here's what you do. You put gas in it. You don't put a gold gas mix. And I do it. What if I decided, you know, it'd be easier if I just poured water in it? Because then I wouldn't have to go to the gas station. I wouldn't have to pay money. And then it breaks down. Well, society has tried so many experiments outside God's plan, and they all fail and create chaos. And God's plan is that you lay down your life for one another, you prioritize Jesus and your family over yourself, and it works. So at Pleasant Valley, we're asking you to do that. We're asking you to invest in your marriage because it takes ongoing work to have a good marriage. Let me tell you, if this is convicting to you, it's highly unlikely that 3 years from now you'll say, you know, we were kind of stagnant or our marriage was just okay, and then we heard Brad Rhodes preach. Wow, it's been different ever since. I remember somebody recently, they said, Brad, I heard you preach last year. It was great. I'm like, what'd I preach about? They looked at me. So I don't remember, but it was good. I said, so it's really kind of ongoing impact in your life. No. You hear the word preach, but then you've got to implement the word. Because Scripture says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool that repeats his folly. I've got natural ditches of complacency, of overcommitment, of being harsh with my tongue. Unless I focus on them regularly and work on them, the old Brad comes back in all his glory. So we've learned at Pleasant Valley that sustained growth does not occur without structure and without accountability. So what we have created is a structure that gives you accountability to continue growth in your marriage so it can't get away from you. Because about 50% of marriages end. So if you think you're not at risk, you're wrong. If I said there is a disease and there's a 50% chance it's going to kill you, but if you do this, it's highly unlikely it'll ever kill you. You would do it. There's a 50% chance your marriage will die. And if you do not invest and prioritize your marriage, it's a high likelihood that it will. So we're asking you to invest in your marriage. A comedian stated, do you want to be single and lonely, or do you want to be married and bored? You get to pick. In Pleasant Valley, we want a beautiful third option. We want you to be married and full of the life of Jesus Christ. We want to see you hold hands. We want to see you go on dates. We want to see you enjoy one another. We want people to watch you be married and you be a billboard for Jesus and a billboard for marriage. And they're drawn to Pleasant Valley and they're drawn to Jesus. Why? Because they watch you be married. It's beautiful. So at Pleasant Valley, we have a structure. Once every 90 days, you agree to give 6 hours to your marriage. And if that seems like a lot, it's not, considering the importance of marriage theologically for the health of your kids, the health of our church, and the health of our culture. And don't schedule over it. Right now, the pattern and our biggest struggle at Pleasant Valley and other churches is people put anything and everything over their marriage. Oh, we were going to come work on our marriage, but our 7-year-old's a good soccer player, and he had a game that day. Oh, it's hard. My daughter's doing a college visit in November. The big weekend for their visit at that college is the weekend of our marriage coaching. Marilyn's going a day late, and we're prioritizing our marriage because we have agreed our marriage is first priority, and we're going to treat it that way, and we're going to ask others to please do the same. So when you come together once every 90 days, you're given a forum and structure. You're exposed to biblical concepts. You think and pray, and you write down what you're going to do. The guy that mentors me says, what's not written down is rarely accomplished. You'll plan your quarter together. You'll talk through issues. You'll get on the same page. You'll enjoy one another. And it's just a forum to work on your own marriage. Don't worry, you're not going to show up and have to hear me for 6 hours. You just have a space to work on your own marriage. One pastor in Lexington came to a second session and said, man, I got to admit, I'm not doing anything I said I'd do. They go, exactly, that's why you're back. We knew you wouldn't. But now you're going to get back on track. Every 90 days, we hit reset, we replan, and we make sure we're on a growth track. It's two steps forward, one step back, but you do that for 6 or 7 years, you're going to have a fantastic marriage. Jameis has been at 6 years. Brandon's been at 6 years. I've been at 6 years. We ask you, please invest in your marriage. Some of you started, and it helped you some, and then you've fallen out of it. We're asking you to get back in it, please. We want to be the example at Pleasant Valley. We want the best marriage ministry in the country, and we want it to be that not a church in the country would dare not have an effective marriage ministry structure, because we see what's going on around us. You have a 900% increase in cohabitation. 40% of Americans believe marriage is obsolete and has no place in society, and it's time for the body of Christ to step forward and show people how to do it right. So we're asking you, please consider signing up. It's for all ages. We have couples in their upper 70s down to their lower 20s. We want to change how marriage is done with an investment mentality, because now people fall in love, they get married, they fall into a pattern, it is what it is, and they just go through life. Jesus Christ is life. We want the life of Christ manifested in your marriage. So what we're asking you to do is sign up and please show up. By working on your own marriage and having a great marriage, you're doing a lot more than working on your own marriage. You are helping change the way people do marriage. And I'm very thankful. We have a church at Pleasant Valley that's more supportive of marriage ministry than any church that I know. We have an amazing leadership team, and we appreciate y'all's support. So how do you sign up? There's a table right out that door. We're asking you to go out that door and please sign up. It's $250 for the entire year. That includes your child care, your lunches, your coffee, all your materials, your facilitation, everything. For some of you who've done ongoing professional development or business coaching, that sounds low. If that's you, please write your check for above the tuition, because there's some people that can't afford it. And at Pleasant Valley, we have budget funds in our marriage ministry budget to help you. Dave McClelland administers that, and he will talk to you about scholarships. So we have a proactive church as it relates to marriage. Let's become more proactive and let's set the standard. So thank you so much for the chance to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to serve as your marriage pastor. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that we would just have a burning zeal to put you on display in every way. May our marriage be gospel magnets. We know it takes ongoing devotion and a real fight to keep it alive, because we're in a rough world. There's cancer, there's struggles, there's heart attack, there's depression, there's anxiety, and it really takes hard work to bring you glory in our marriages. We thank you to be part of a church that puts in the work. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing, a lot of this sermon came from principles of Tim Keller in the book Meaning of Marriage. If you do sign up today out there, we'll give you a free copy of Meaning of Marriage today. Thank you so much.
Let's all stand together.